Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, good people. Yeah, you know what it is. Hard worker. Scrappy, unfiltered, and sometimes unhinged football content. Hard to explain, but you know it when you see it. Doing it daily our way. I don't know what you're talking about right now. Redraft and Dynasty Fantasy Football, we got you covered. You know their defense is ranked like 31st in the NFL? NFL draft prospects and rookies? Now you know you're in the right place for that.
Absolutely.
All right, then stop saying it! Then we're done. And prop bets with my man Jay Rich.
Count that money, man.
Now wipe the crust out of your eyes. Get you a cup of coffee. It's time to wake your ass up with Ray G. You honestly are making absolutely no sense and you sound silly as hell. What's going on, good people? Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, good people. It is Monday, May the 16th, 2022. Y'all decided to wake y'all ass up with Ray G. And for that, I appreciate you being here. I hope you had a great weekend, relaxing, fun-filled. I don't know what you do on the weekends, but I hope you enjoyed yourself, and I'm glad you decided to wake up this morning to holla at your boy GQ and my man Jay Rich. Y'all know who it is, man. Brought to you by Prize Picks. That is our sponsor. Make sure you sign up. Go to Prize Picks. Use the promo code WAKEUP. They match you up to $100 dollar for dollar. And we got some really dope NFL challenges that we're going to do later this season. And you have to be on Prize Picks in order to participate. We're going to win prizes, sign jerseys, sign helmets, maybe some cash prizes. So make sure you're tapped in. So when we get ready to get rolling, bam, you're there. You can participate. You can have fun. You can chill with us and put your football knowledge to the test. But on this show today, we're going to talk some news and notes from around rookie camp. We're going to talk about some veteran signings. We're going to take a look at a trade of the day brought to you by the Destination Devi patrons, patreon.com/allgas. Trade of the day doesn't mean it was a great trade, doesn't mean it was a bad trade, but I just want to get your thoughts and opinions on said deal. Who's in the building this morning? I always got to say good morning to the people. Legendary Steez, good morning to you. L. Wood, how you doing, my friend? Somebody said it works. Don't know what he's talking about, but happy you're in the building, Wolf 1982. Seven Goat Rings. What's up, baby? Robert, Shane, Joe. I saw Big Shy in the building. What's up, Big Shy? Good to see you this morning. Man, it's going to be a nice one. James, Joe, Patrick. Yes, yes, yes. JP, Mike A, the good people in the building. Where's my co-host at? Jay Rich, where you at, baby? Jay Rich, what's going on?
I'm good, man. How are you doing? Oh, are we matching today? I didn't even notice
that. Man.
We're wearing the Prize Picks gear.
Twins.
Powered by Prize Picks. Yeah, I know. I didn't even... Completely unintentional. But I'm recovering from the debacle in the NBA yesterday. But it's interesting because I don't know if you've been seeing the memes going around of Luka staring at Devin Booker saying Cancun's pretty nice this time of year. Dude. I was losing it yesterday with the Phoenix memes. It was too funny.
Dallas Mavericks, man. My Dallas Mavericks, one step away from the NBA Finals. Lakers are out of it, so you got to root for the home team, baby. You got to root for the home team. But yeah, that's what we got going on right now. It's a weird time in the sports space because there's not a lot going on, right? This is sort of the dead moment of football. Like, there's really nothing going on. We'll talk some rookie minicamp. We got some interesting developments out of rookie minicamp, but it's sort of like the calm before the content storm, per se. Once training camps and OTAs get underway and we really have some actionable advice to
I don't know, make decisions on, really dive into, talk about. We did get the NFL schedule. The NFL schedule was released last week. I think that was Friday. We don't do it. We hadn't done the show on Friday, but it's Friday. And I know the opening game is a good one, Jay. The Bills versus the Rams, game one. That's gonna be pretty fun. Somebody's talking about the Maple Leafs. So let's just quick, the conference finals are set in the NBA. We got Boston versus Miami, then Golden State versus Dallas. Your predictions, who's playing in the NBA finals? I just want to know what you think.
I want to see Miami and Dallas. I really do. I think that Dallas can actually give Golden State a run for their money. They were 3-1 during the regular season against them. I think they're a different team now.
Yeah.
But for me, I don't really care who makes out of the East. I have a ticket on Miami. You know that. Yeah. We talked about it on the show, right? So there's some financial gain for me there if Miami does make it to the finals. But I'm a huge Jason Tatum fan. Like, people who don't know, like, I'm a massive Tatum fan and have been a big Tatum fan for a long time. So to see him take that ascension up, I'm really excited for him, and I would love to see the Celtics in the finals. Whether it's Celtics or the Heat, I'm good. I don't care if the Warriors make the finals. But Ray, actually, I was looking this up this morning. Do you know who of these four teams, the team that won the finals the furthest back? It was in 2008. Do you know who it was?
In 2008, Miami.
Yeah. No, it was actually the Celtics. So of these four teams, the Celtics are the furthest team from a championship. Yeah, because the Mavs won in 2011. The Heat won, I think, in 2012 and 2013. Then you have the Golden State Warriors winning. But I was, like, shocked. I was like, you know, you think it'd be the Mavs, right? But it's not. It's not the Mavs. The Celtics are actually the team with the longest championship drought of the four teams left in the NBA playoffs.
And I'm assuming that was the Paul Pierce era. Paul Pierce and those guys.
Yeah, it was the Paul Pierce AG championship that they got. But I don't know about you, but I'm excited. The east side of the bracket has been so good. The West, we'll see. It's been up and down in the West, and obviously Phoenix shit the bed yesterday. But I'm excited to see what happens in the East, because Jimmy Butler and Jason Tatum is going to be a show. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm super excited for it.
Yeah, so we got that. So make sure y'all tap into that. At least we get some competitive action there. The WNBA's kicked off. Jay, you're headfirst into baseball. But just to be complete here for the people in the comments, I have no clue what goes on in the NHL. So is there some there some good stuff in hockey? I have no clue.
If you follow me on Twitter, I was just lighting fire to Leaf fans across the entire Twitterverse, because people don't understand, Leaf fans are unbearable, and I'm surrounded by them. Family members, cousins, friends, whatever, they're everywhere. Cannot escape Leaf fans. And so it was game 7 in Toronto. Tickets were $500+ to go to this game. And they lost. They lost to the Championship Lightning, and now all of Toronto is in mourning that their famously great Maple Leafs are now out of the playoffs in the first round again. So they're like, I believe it's something like 0-9 in closeout games in a series. So when they could win, and they're 0-5 5 years in a row being out in the first round in the playoffs.
Yeah, Eric said, out of the eight series went to game 7. Crazy. So
yesterday went to overtime versus the NBA, which had 2 blowouts. It was pretty crazy actually day in the NHL.
Well, look at all this, the diversity within the audience, man. Got football fans, you got damn hockey fans, baseball, basketball. I love it. It's sports, man. We got to appreciate it. But let's talk a little football. There was before we get to some football, because it is little disruption to the wake up flow. You guys must adjust your morning lives now. We will be streaming live Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So normally we go Monday through Thursday, we take Friday off. But it's like we need a break too, and there's nothing going on. So Monday, Wednesday, Friday, from this point moving forward, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday will be the Wake Up Show. That's the new content schedule. Switching some stuff up. We want to be here at the beginning of the week, the middle of the week, and end you out on Friday together. So Monday, Wednesday, Friday, moving forward, new content schedule for Wake Up. Same shit we're going to talk about every single day, but that's the new schedule. There's no point to go 4 days a week at this point. It's too much. It's the summertime. I'm going to Costa Rica in a couple of weeks. Like, I'm going to be out for a while. So we're going to enjoy our time, before we get Clint, don't do this, man.
Are we going to get you on the hammock again for an episode? Because a lot of people miss that. And people actually ask in the comments, they're like, where is this episode of Ray in the Hammock? We may have to get Hammock Ray back when you go to Costa Rica for one episode that week.
I streamed from, I was on the hammock in, where was I at? Puerto Vallarta,
Aren't
Mexico.
You in Mexico?
Yeah, it was Puerto Vallarta, streaming from the hammock, wake up, poor audio quality, poor video quality, but we had a good time. And Ball is Life said 7 days a week. What the hell are y'all doing? 3 days a week, weak sauce, 7 days a week. All right, Jay, so NFL, let's just talk some signings. Jarvis Landry signs with the Saints. Any interest? How, what does that do?
Interest
what does that
in him?
Do? Interest
not
in
a
him?
Lot of interest in him.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is people are going to look at it as the demise of Chris Olave. And Ray, I would ask you, I think this is actually really good for Olave because I think it may force him outside more than I was expecting, right? Like I view him as more of a slot guy and a guy who operates primarily from like tighter in line. But if that's going to be Jarvis's role for the most part, because Jarvis isn't playing outside, I think that may actually force Olave outside more than I was expecting. And so for me, I think that's a good thing. That's going to raise his ADOT. That's going to make him get deeper plays down the field and all those things. But I don't think it moves the needle for me much personally. They still drafted Olave 11th overall. Yeah. Like Jarvis isn't going to take his job. Does it take away from Michael Thomas a little bit? Maybe. You know, Jarvis is still a fine player. He can move the sticks and he can do his job, but he's not going to do a ton other than provide leadership and just be another person in the building. And I think from what we've seen behind the scenes of Jarvis, more importantly, is he's a guy who will be willing to mentor and teach Chris Olave the nuances of wide receiver in that offense and in the NFL, which will be good for his development overall.
Yeah, I don't – I thought it was a good signing. I think this is good for Jameis Winston. You know, there are people out there who are concerned, and maybe legitimately so, about – Michael Thomas and the ankle injury, having hurdles to overcome, not all the way 100%. I'll just say it's May, you know, he's got time to get better. He posted a video of himself running in a helmet. He looked slow as hell, but MT was never a blazer, but he looked fine to me. I mean, I'm no medical professional. I'm not going to try to diagnose him from my office computer desk chair. But he looked fine to me, and it's May. I think this is more so, regardless if MT is healthy or not, they needed another weapon. And if anything, this is good for Jameis Winston. And I think it's good for the development of Chris Olave. When you've got you know, Pro Bowl caliber wide receivers, you got an All-Pro in Michael Thomas, you've got these veterans there, like that can only help and assist and aid in his growth and development as a wide receiver. And, you know, more and more time goes on, you know that we were never the biggest Chris Olave fantasy producing fans, right? We were never the biggest, like we view Chris Olave, or at least I won't speak for you. I view him as a good wide receiver two for an NFL team that could probably be a wide receiver two, wide receiver three, you know, on the high end for fantasy purposes. So I think it's a good signing for the Saints. It seems like they're getting their type of guys in, and New Orleans quietly building a decent little roster. So if Jameis Winston is back healthy, if Drew Brees does not return, then this could be very good for the Saints pass catchers, because Drew Brees tweeted out he doesn't know what did he do? He has not signed for re-signed a second year for NBC hosting. He tweeted out yesterday he doesn't know if he wants to play football again, if he wants to coach his kids, if he wants to go back to the broadcasting booth, kind of leaving the door open for a New Orleans return, apparently. What are your thoughts on Drew Brees going back to New Orleans? Does this story have legs? If he does go back, do you have interest? I mean, what about Drew Brees, man?
I think it always has to have legs, right? And no matter what happens, I believe that Drew Brees playing in New Orleans matters, right? Whatever you think he could be, because he's still one of the smartest quarterbacks we've ever seen. Regardless of what you think about his arm, his ability to diagnose defenses is an ability that Jameis Winston will never possess at his level, right? And for the Saints, they don't need to have a stellar offense. They just need to have a competent one. Last year, they were god-awful on offense, on both, whether it's through the air, even on the ground, they struggled. The offensive line's been bolstered. They're adding wide receivers. For the first time, they're adding wide receivers, and Drew Brees is like, hey, hold up, wait a minute. Maybe I'm not done yet. It really gave me shades of Tom Brady talking about his unfinished business when I saw that tweet from Drew Brees. And so I think there is something to it. Should Jameis be worried? I don't know. But if something happens where Jameis is really struggling, could Drew Brees step into that offense and perform? Probably. Like, if we're just being honest, like, if anybody could step into that offense,
right, yes,
it would be Drew Brees, yes, right? And I think more importantly, maybe even more so than Jameis, all the guys there know Drew so well and would really rally around him if he was there. And I think that's a big factor too, because for years it was, let's run it back for Drew. Let's do it one more time for Drew. Let's play injured for Drew. And so if Drew came back, whether it's Michael Thomas, Marshawn Lattimore, like any of those guys that have been there, they'll be rallying around Drew. And I think that is not a non-story. But I doubt he comes back overall, personally.
Yeah, I don't think Brees was bad in the booth. His hairpiece is terrible, but he was not bad in the booth by any stretch. I think it's all noise. He's not now. If this situation played out like you said, if they had a good looking team, Jameis got hurt, and somehow they called him and said, "Can you come back? Could he step in and run the offense?" Probably yes. But yeah. I think this is more noise than anything. I mean, We wanted Brees to go when he was on the field last. We were like, man, this dude can't throw the damn ball anymore. And we think that a year off, he's magically recovered and gotten better. Like, no, I don't want to see him struggle to push the ball downfield to Chris Olave. I don't want to see that, Drew. I don't. I don't think it has a lot of legs. I just don't want to see it. Maybe if Sean Payton was there, I don't know. I just think this is just him just kind of talking and, you know, I'm sure he misses the game. Shit, there's days where I sit back and be like, man, I miss playing football, you know? But I don't think Brees is going to do anything on the field. I mean, we had the whole thing about Tom Brady. You know, that news broke while we weren't on the stream. Tom Brady signs a, 10-year, $375 million deal to be a lead analyst for Fox once he's done. Is this Tom Brady's like legit, man? I'm asking these questions because people are still drafting him in Dynasty Superflex leagues. They're still taking a shot on Father Time and Tom Brady. Is this Father his last season? I'm just, what do you think? When I see 375 million M's on the table to just talk sports, I mean, we're getting paid like $20 a show here, and we're doing it every damn day. 375? Is this it for Tom Brady, and why are people still drafting him? I guess if you're win now and you're just like, I know this is a 1-year rental, or at least I'm building my team as a, like, Tom Brady's a 1-year piece, right? Like, you have to go into it thinking that. Do you think there's any shot in hell he plays multiple seasons, 2 years, 3 years, or do you think it's one and done like Kyrie Irving at Duke with Tom Brady?
I think he could play multiple years because I do honestly believe that story. Yeah, because I believe the story about the Dolphins, right? And the reason why he didn't end up becoming a part owner and player for the Dolphins was because of the scandal with Brian Flores. And so when that blows over, or sort of blows over, at the end of this year and you know, into a new offseason, Brady may be looking to make that move, right? So for me, that's where it's interesting, because I do think that part of him would want to have that accolade on his resume, right? Player owner, right? And I think that would be really cool. And if it's maybe only be for a year and he's like, okay, now I'm like really done. But I do think that story does have some legs, and whether he ultimately goes through with it, I don't know. But I do think that there is some credence to him wanting to be that player owner in the NFL, which I believe no one's ever done, obviously, because it's just too expensive.
Okay. Tom Brady, big deal. Some news that you made me aware of, and I know some Zach Wilson truthers are going to love it, but he beefed up, yoked up to 220 pounds, Jay. I missed the news of old Zach Wilson putting on some weight for this upcoming season. How you feel about your boy Zach Wilson, who you have said on this show you would take over Justin Fields, over Trey Lance, over Trevor Lawrence? I mean, you have Zach Wilson still as QB1. How do you feel about your QB1 beefing up to 220 pounds?
I feel great about it. I don't hear anything about Justin Fields beefing up. I don't hear anything about Trevor Lawrence beefing up. Zach Wilson looks great in practice. Okay. But the thing is, right, is you could kind of see it in his body in his rookie season. He needed to kind of gain some weight, and I think this may help him in the pocket, you know, when guys are trying to hit at his arms, hit at his legs, being stronger, being and hopefully it helps his mobility. We'll see kind of how he gained that weight, whether it's in the top half or in the bottom half. But, I mean, it's never a bad thing. You want to see these QBs around 220. It's a great weight for them to play at. You see a lot of QBs playing at that weight. So if he was, you know, 210, comes in around 220, I think there's nothing wrong with that, and it can only help him in the pocket.
All right. The biggest piece of news that was circulating around Twitter that people didn't like my take, man. They didn't like my take. We've got a guest coming on the show on Wednesday who's going to tell me how much he did not appreciate what I said about the Chosen One, the youngest breakout in the history of all breakouts from the data analytics sides. Oh, Bryan Edwards, you see here, making ridiculous catches in practice and training camp. Bryan Edwards traded from the Las Vegas Raiders to the Atlanta Falcons. And I said, I tweeted out immediately as people were adjust your ranks and this and that, and Bryan Edwards lived. I said, Bryan Edwards didn't do shit in Las Vegas. He's not going to do shit in Atlanta. So spare me the bored, tired Bryan Edwards lives takes. It's over for Bryan Edwards, Jay. I like the highlights. I like the catches. Is there any shot he revives his career in Atlanta? Do you still have hope? Do you still have faith? Are you excited about this move for Bryan Edwards? Because he's got a following out there that is big. That is big, man. Again, didn't do shit in Vegas. Not going to do shit in Atlanta. What do you think?
I'm just watching this clip and wondering, is it from this past offseason?
No, this is before? I think this is
it's
rookie.
An old one.
I think
right?
This is we. I think this is rookie training camp, Bryan Edwards, man.
Hey, man, it's rookie minicamp show, so might as well show some rookie minicamp highlights. But talking about Bryan Edwards, the only legs it has, Ray, and I think this is an important point, is that they probably played a lot together. They probably played a lot together in practice, and I'm talking about him and Marcus Mariota, the two backups, right? You have backup wide receiver, backup quarterback, so there may be some familiarity there, and maybe that's one of the reasons why they brought him in. Do I believe that gives him hope? No, I really don't think it gives them any hope. But, I mean, you may see some early chemistry from those two because, again, they did play together, practice together for, I believe, two seasons. So there may be something to that early on. But, yeah, outside of preseason All-Star games, I don't think Bryan Edwards is going to do a whole lot for the Atlanta Falcons. Just can be another body in camp, a guy that Marcus Mariota is familiar with. I'm assuming it didn't cost a lot to get him on the roster. So overall, he may have a game or two. But I doubt it's much more than, you know, a flash in the pan for old Bryan Edwards and his dynasty value.
Yeah, man. I just, you know, we talk about it all the time. I keep saying hope is the number one killer of dynasty rosters, man. And when you got these players like Drew Brees, like people are legitimately going to go at him off of waivers. Like they're going to go pick him up and burn a roster spot and hold. I guarantee if we go on Sleeper right now.
I thought about it, to be honest.
Picking up Drew Brees is not worth a shot. It is a waste of a roster spot. But let's just look. I want to see if his thing is trending now. Where's his thing at? Where's it at? Quarterback, trending, Sleeper. Where's Drew Brees at? All right, it's not.
Well, the answer must be no, then. He must not be trending.
Or I don't know what I'm looking at. Maybe not. Maybe he's not trending yet. I see Kennedy Brooks at the top. This is not good. This is not good.
Scott Connor, man, you got to blame. We got to talk to him about that because you saw what he tweeted about Kennedy Brooks, right?
What did he tweet about Kennedy Brooks?
So thank you. Scott's here on the show, which is awesome. But he talked about how Kennedy Brooks has one of the highest guaranteed contracts amongst running backs, even higher than some sixth and seventh round picks. And so maybe there's something to that. And he's talking about how we should be looking at going to get Kennedy Brooks because there may be something to it there. If you're paying a undrafted free agent more than you're paying a sixth or seventh round running back, that there probably is something to that, right? And we always talk about following the money. Maybe we should follow the money with Kennedy Brooks.
Well, Drew's not in Sleeper yet, but I guarantee he'll be. Let's push for that so some sucker in the league will pick him up and burn a roster spot for him. Back to Bryan Robinson, man. Bryan Edwards. It's Drake London, it's Kyle Pitts. Those are the only two pass catchers I won that offense, legitimately. That's it. I wish him all the best. This is not a shit on Bryan Edwards. I thought he was a good player coming out as well, but the reality is it just hasn't come to fruition in the league. And I'm just not going to hold my breath that he's going to become a fantasy viable asset, right? If this trade to Atlanta gives us a small window in order to move him for something, what would you take for him right now? 23 third? a 23 second.
Oh yeah, like, third is easy.
Yeah,
third
so is if easy. You got a second, you're ecstatic. You're smashing accept on that deal, right? Same.
Points are off at that point.
Same here. Same too here. Easy. All right. What's this? What are some notes? You've got run through these notes real quick. You talk about Lovie Smith and something with John Mechie. What's up with that?
So Lovie Smith was talking to reporters and basically talking about how they're trying to determine a timeline for John Mechie right now. So if you are drafting John Mechie, it doesn't sound as good as maybe I hoped coming out of the training camp and all that stuff. But obviously he tore his ACL December 4th. I thought it was earlier than that. So this kind of does make more sense. He's only about 5 months out, 6 months out or so. But they're still trying to determine what his timetable is. And if he's going to play in 22, they are hopeful he will play, but they are not certain he's going to play. So there may be a chance John Mechie doesn't play in 22, which is not great for his dynasty value overall. And on top of that, at Bills camp, Khalil Shakir is apparently looking really, really good along with James Cook, and we'll talk about him later. And then Wandale Robinson and his growth spurt was the rage of Twitter a few days ago. He went from 5'9 to 5'11 apparently since the combine, listed at 5'11 on the Giants website. Ray, would you be in on Wandale Robinson at 5'11? We were out at 5'9. But are we in at 5'11?
He was 5'9, 5'8 at the combine. How did he grow two, three inches in a matter of months, man? I mean,
the crazy thing is in the analytics community, this really matters. Like, it kind of does, because he goes from a bucket of 5'8, 5'9 receivers to all receivers that are 5'11, 6 feet. Like, it's a big difference. It is a big difference. It may not matter, but it's interesting because it kind of does matter.
I'm in on Wandale at his cost. I don't care how tall he is. I'm in on him at his cost, but I'm not expecting. What do we expect? Like, I'm done with pie in the sky bullshit. I'm just over it, man. I'm legit over it, Jay. I'm looking at everybody talk about how bad the 2022 class is, right? It's so bad. So bad, this 2022 class. But yet every damn receiver is going to end up being top 10, top 12, got all these top 12 running backs. How's it bad? If every Wandale, he's going to be great. Drake London's going to be great. Garrett Wilson's going to be great. J-Mo's top 15 asset. Christian Watson's going to ball. Sky Moore's top 10. Chris Olave, like the whole damn first round. We're looking at the future top 15. And now just add Wandale Robinson to it. Whatever. I mean, what is he going to be ultimately? What is he going to be ultimately?
I don't know. He's probably going to be a slot receiver with some upside. I mean, there's that's a role that's been fruitful. You know, you could have a wide receiver too who's productive. And like you're saying, if you get him in the second round, it's not terrible. I wouldn't go after him in the first round. Same reason I wouldn't go after David Bell. But I mean, I think there is upside there, right? There is upside there.
Yeah, I'm fine with it at cost. Absolutely. But again, like where's the bust at in these class? Literally everyone you talk to, it's like all the wide receivers are just like, get him.
Shooting up boards, yeah.
They're just shooting up boards. I mean, I'm fine with Wandale Robinson. Am I expecting him to be somebody that in a start your lineup league, you're putting him out there week to week feeling confident? Hell no. He's still a rookie wide receiver on a bad offense with a terrible quarterback. Like, it's just terrible. It is bad. Yeah. The Giants situation is bad. I don't care how you slice it. And these slot wide receivers that are exclusively, that's all they kind of do, man, you have to go out there and show that you're that guy to earn those consistent targets week in and week out. And I'm not anticipating that for a rookie wide receiver. Like, you'll have a point in time in the season where mark this shit down and wax, man. You'll have a point in time in the season where you can go get Wandale Robinson as a throw-in in a trade. I promise you it will come. It will come. I like the skill set. I like the player. If a shoulda, coulda, woulda been this tall, coulda been this. It's like, let's operate in reality world, right? And reality is, I think there's going to take a lot for him to be a viable fantasy starter, man. Like the talent, just I'm not going out too far over my skis on that one right now. But yes, I do like him at cost. So we're talking about bust and who's looking good, who's looking bad. This was not a good look for old Treylon. So this was day one of Treylon Burks' rookie minicamp, right? And, you know, look, he was tired. It was hot out there. You know, couldn't finish the practice. I mean, people were tweeting me, Ray, are you concerned? I mean, Trey Lon couldn't finish practice. Look at him. He doesn't look, you know, I'm just the body language, the hands on the edge. But then he finishes.
He's exhausted.
He looks tired, man. Maybe it was energy. Maybe it was excitement. No, I'm not worried about him not being able to get through the first practice, right? Came back day two and was fine during his rookie mini camp practices. But you hadn't seen this. You hadn't seen this, and you thought it was hilarious that Trey Lon was apparently a little gassed, right? A little out of shape, a little big. What are your thoughts, man? And well, and because of this, Jay, everyone is all on Kyle Phillips, this later drafted kid out of UCLA. Basically, he's looking good in practices, just like the guy in New York is looking better than Garrett Wilson. What are your thoughts on Trey Lon being a little winded in his first practice? And Kyle Phillips and all the beat noise out of Tennessee.
I think more importantly for me, it gives me hope, right? Because this is about how I look when I step on the field. And so this is probably the most I've ever related to an NFL player at any point in time in my life. But no, I'm not concerned, because is the Arkansas Heat different from the Tennessee, like Nashville Heat? I don't know, man. I don't know the climates. I don't know the environments. I don't know. But there is a lot of adjustment that can happen for some of these guys, depending on where they're at. They talk about the Miami Heat, what that's like, the Texas Heat, how it's different for some guys. At the end of the day, it's practice. And we don't know his situation. Maybe he's dehydrated. Maybe he, you talked about how he needed an inhaler. Maybe he's asthmatic. Like, there's lots of things that go into this, and it's all an adjustment. But the dude literally has, 4 months to figure this out? And on top of that, it's not going to be this hot when he's actually playing. So I'm not too concerned. He can have the hands on the hips for day one. I don't want to see it if I'm a coach, but as a fantasy manager, I'm good. Like, I can wait till he's healthy and feeling good and kind of go for it when the time comes.
Yeah, and it was apparently this other kid was just looked the most impressive. It wasn't that Wilson didn't look good. It was the other kid apparently looked good. Here goes a Nashville resident. All I know here in Nashville, we had the hottest day since 1902 on Thursday of last week. 1902.
Shout out to Evan.
Yes. I mean, but people are like, literally, Ray, are you concerned? I don't know if I want Trey Lon. Looks out of shape. I mean, this is the fantasy football space, man. This shit fluctuates more than the stock market. I'm telling you, you get on and you chart some stocks day to day, and it's just up and down, up and down. That's what this is. And if this provides us an opportunity to acquire one Trey Lon Burks, because his first rookie minicamp practice, the hottest day in Nashville since 1902. You know what was going on in 1902, Jay? A lot of things that probably shouldn't have been going. A lot of stuff was going on in 1902. A lot of things were different back in the old day, right, in 1902. And how they even recorded that, I don't know. I don't know how they kept record of that for over 100 years.
That's 120 years ago.
120 years. And it just so happened to affect Trey Lon Burks. So by the Trey Lon depth, I'm not concerned about it. Kyle Phillips, I mean, I'm cool. Like, I'm good with the dart throw on Kyle Phillips. What'd you say?
The feet look good, which for me feet, is a big
the feet
factor,
look good,
right?
Man.
Feet look good.
I love me some feet, man. You got good footwork. You got a shot. But Trey Lon Burks apparently not looking good. On that play. But
that clip wasn't
on that clip.
Good.
Didn't look good on that clip. If it gives you an opportunity to go acquire him, please go do it. I'm not concerned about this. Now, listen, Linda. Listen, honey. I try hard not to overreact to these clips, man, because it's practice. It's rookie minicamp. It's install. That's what they're doing. They are installing plays in the playbook. That way, when OTAs open up, these rookies they're up to speed, right? They don't have time to fuck around with them during OTAs and training camp to install the plays. They're getting the basics, the foundation. But, man, Jay, I'm watching old Desmond Ridder sling the ball around in Atlanta. It looked good.
Pretty good.
It looked good.
Looking pretty good.
All I kept thinking is, man, maybe he can play this year. Maybe if Mariota stinks, maybe old Ridder could get. I'm watching it, Jay. We're going to watch this together. And I'm watching Ridder in the four. I wore number four in college. He wore number four, right? So look at Algier. Look how big Algier looks.
Progressions.
Algier looks good, Jay. He's big. Look at him ripping the ball. This is full speed too, man. They slow it up.
Slow motion.
I mean, all I'm saying, Jay, is I'm watching on Ritter.
No look past. Ooh.
Ritter looks good. It's early. Look at the rollout. He looks catch the ball off the rip. Bam! Hit a wide open padless wide receiver. There goes Drizzy Drake London right there. No socks.
No side shoulder.
Don't really care for that. But London looks good. All I'm saying is, Jay, this right here. Again, we try not to overreact to mini camp practice highlights. But I'm mildly interested. This sort of got me excited, Jay. I cannot lie to you. Watching the Desmond Ridder rip the ball, Atlanta did a good job with cutting this film. I don't know what he did in any other part of the practice, but in this that we're watching at, he looked good, man. He looks good.
Yeah, I think the Miami Dolphins should really take notice of what the Atlanta Falcons did and how they're pumping up their players, because it's a feat of ingenuity by the Atlanta Falcons. But it really feels like Zach Wilson hype, unfortunately.
Okay.
Like, it reminds me of when Zach Wilson was ripping it in minicamp and we were like, whoa, like, maybe he's better than we're giving him credit for. I don't know. Like, am I intrigued by Ridder? Sure. Because for me, he's not very expensive. If you want to go get him, you want to draft him, you want to trade for him, whatever. But the hype is building, to your point. So if you don't get him soon, it may be too late. Like, it just may be too late. And that's the problem.
All right, let's come back to reality. It's minicamp, right? There's no – none of these defense – this is just 7-on-7. This is 7-on-7. But he looks good, man. It's our first taste of football. We get to see some of the players. Tyler Allgeier looks good. Tyler Allgeier is a big boy. He looks good. Probably going to have some opportunity to carry the tote the rock year one in Atlanta. Here's the thing. We continue to say it, right? All these third-round pick quarterbacks, Ritter, Malik Willis, and who's the other one? Matt Corral. I saw Matt Corral. Yeah. They had him doing goddamn, like, dribbling things with the football. Like, he was going between his legs, doing some step-ups. I'm just like...
Sounds like Matt Rhule.
Matt Rhule. Right? I was going to pull that clip. I mean, he's literally going between his legs. Like, that's the drill. And I know it's hands and eye coordination. But these guys are probably going to get a shot to play at some point this season. Do I think they're going to have the leeway, the leash, the longevity to mess up and continue to retain that starting job? No, I don't. But they're going to get a shot to play, right? So when you're in the second round, middle, the back end of the second round of a super flex rookie draft, take your shot on the quarterback. You will have an opportunity in the window to capitalize on that value the moment that they're named the starting quarterback. If you don't believe in a Ridder, you don't believe in a Corral or a Malik Willis, once they are named the starter and they get their opportunity to go out there, you'll have a shot to trade these guys and return value. And it's funny, we talk about this stuff all the time, right? And everybody in the comments tells us all the time, oh, you can't get that done. Nobody's trading the first. Nobody's going to go buy Desmond Ridder. Nobody. And then we go in the channel, and it happens every day. It happens every damn day. You know what I'm saying? So the clips look good. I'm glad Drake London is healthy. That's what I'll say,
yeah,
Jay. Sure. Apparently he's whatever, you know, his broken ankle, all that's cleared up. He's healthy. He's fully participating in everything. He looks good, and I'm excited for his future in Atlanta, and it'll be interesting to see what some of these young rookies do when they do get an opportunity. I know Malik Willis, there were some reports that he had some wow throws, and then I think Joe Marino from TDN said it during the Senior Bowl. Malik Willis had the 5 best throws of the Senior Bowl and also the 5 worst throws of the Senior Bowl, right? Like, both can be true. All these guys are going to get a shot at some point, so we'll see what happens. No. Jay, you did put the David Bell out route on here. People getting excited over that.
That was fun.
It was an out
that
route.
That was fun.
It was literally an out route.
Someone literally said that he didn't run it well and he rounded it, but it was a speed out. So I'm just like,
when I say we are diving deep for content at this point in time in May, when we are analyzing out routes at a rookie minicamp, we are diving deep, yet people are still drafting David Bell in the first round of rookie drafts. Now, we talked about this player, Jay. Patrick, I know. I get it, man. Laughing my ass off the out route. We talked about James Cook last week, and I keep talking about the quote, but can you read the quote in its entirety, Jay, as we show James Cook actually looking pretty good running some of these routes here at Bill's rookie minicamp? What was the quote?
So the quote was from Brandon Bean, the GM of the Buffalo Bills. "We see his best skill set as a sub back, but I think he can handle carries too if we want to give him some more carries, but we really liked his skill set." Again, similar to the one we saw with J.D. McKissic, a guy who's got really good hands, very instinctive in the passing game. You can run all sorts of guys out in routes. It's not that he can't do it, or it's not that guys can't do it, but some guys just have a feel like a slot receiver. A lot to unpack with that quote for James Cook. He can be a sub back. That's not a lead back. Again, the comp to J.D. McKissic, which we talked about a lot, them wanting a guy that can catch passes in the passing game. But there is hope for slot utilization with James Cook, which I guess should be expected. But they do have a talented plethora of receivers, but it would be good to get him on the field more than maybe we were expecting. Does this mean I'm all in on James Cook? No. But I think there is a world where he does have value. And you asked the question, are we too low on James Cook?
Yeah, I asked that. Yes.
And I don't know. I don't know. But I was running the numbers. And if I was to project James Cook right now, I'd probably project him for around 150 opportunities, somewhere between 50 and 60 targets, about 100 carries. And then I think he'll have about 825 yards and 5 touchdowns combined. I don't know how many receptions he'll have. Depends on catch rate, all that things. But if I told you he was going to get 150 opportunities, 825 yards, and 4 to 5 touchdowns, where would you draft him?
Pretty high. That's pretty good. If you're telling me he's going to get 150 opportunities as a rookie, like if that in a lot of those opportunities, you're saying he's going to get 100 plus carries, 50, 60 targets.
I think it's possible. So Zach Moss had 96 carries last year, and he had 23 receptions, 32 targets. But Devin Singletary had 50 targets. So if you think those flip, right, because obviously James Cook is going to see more targets than Devin Singletary this season, then you're looking at a guy who could see upwards of 80 or so carries and then 50-plus targets, right? You're not going to catch every target, but usually around 75, 80%, especially for a guy like James Cook, you're looking at anywhere from 35 to 40 receptions. I think he'll probably average about 8 yards a reception or so, maybe even higher than that, because he is really good. And then on the ground, we'll see what he averages per carry. But Zach Moss had 350 yards and 4 touchdowns, averaging 3.6 a carry. Could James Cook do that? I don't think that's ridiculous, right? So again, I think 150 opportunities is possible. I don't think it's crazy to think that if they do just slot him right into that role as the second round pick that he was, into that offense, I think there is a real potential for him to have a good season in the first year.
So as you're reading through that, at first I was like, oh man, those projections seem high. And then you start going through it and, you know, people are saying that they continue to talk about him at every presser. If he's going to be utilized in that pass catching role, I think we may be a little too low on him because we're not the ones out here drafting him. I mean, again, people think it's not. I've seen people show rookie drafts where he's 102, 105, 106. Yeah. Like there are some people who are really in on him, right? We've got him below Rashad. We got him low for running backs, not like ridiculously low, but I think he comes in at like RB6 for us. And I'm starting to think that might be a little too low. Like I'm not the biggest James Cook believer, man. I think exactly what the GM said. He's a good sub back who can excel in a pass catching role, a la J.D. McKissic, a la those type of running backs. I do think that's where his skill set should be utilized the most. I don't think he's the same type of guy like Kamara. Alvin Kamara is utilized that way, but he can bang. Like you can hand Alvin Kamara the ball.
And he's 215 too, which is 20 something
times. There's a difference, right? And look at Robert Holland just said right there. He went 103. He went 103 in one of his leagues. And I think we're not nearly that high. I'm not going to advocate for anybody taking him at 103, but I think we might be a little too low on him and just how Buffalo might roll him out there and utilize him. And if he is going to get 100 carries, 50, 60 targets as a rookie, that's somebody that can develop into a high-end PPR asset in fantasy, and maybe him not being punished between the tackles is a good thing for his overall career and longevity, right? Maybe what we want is Devin Singletary banging between the tackles, right? Getting banged up, getting his 14 carries for, like, doesn't this just seem like a Devin Singletary line this year? 14 for 52 and no touchdowns, right? 14 carries, 52 yards, and he served his purpose. He moved the chains a couple of times. He might fall into the end zone if he breaks off a run, but it just seems like 14 for 52 is Devin Singletary and a catch, right? Get you those seven PPR points a game. Just, man, it's rough, what's man.
Crazy is between Zach Moss and Matt Breida, that is 8 touchdowns for the Buffalo Bills last year, right? And these are just the backup running backs, 8 touchdowns. Josh Allen had 6 on the ground. Devin Singletary had 7 on the ground. But you think about 8 touchdowns to the starter in Devin Singletary and 8 to the backup running backs. Like, that's substantial, right? Buffalo's going to score a lot, and James Cook could be a guy who's a beneficiary there. Again, I don't think he's going to see a ton of carries, but I don't think 100 is out of the realm of possibility. And then if you tack on that 50 targets or so, I think there's a potential there for sure.
All right, James with the super chat. He sent another dollar at $2 and saying please and thank you. Give me a quick blurb on Tyler Huntley, worth buying while nobody is thinking about him. Jay, what do you think about Huntley? He played good when he got on the field last year, man. He played very well when he got on the field last year. I think
there's potential for sure. No one's talking about him, but
by buy,
what are you paying for him?
I think I would never go out there and try to one for one buy him, but I think he's a fine throw in, like as a piece to a deal in a super flex league. You might as well just get him thrown in, right? Like I'm not gonna go out there and try to acquire him actively, but if I can toss him into something and get him to come back, then I think it's worth it in my opinion, right? All right, here we go. Real quick, I'm on the clock now. Would you take Cook or Watson, then Rashad White or Spiller? This is a damn good one.
I honestly think I would take James Cook.
I think I'd take James Cook too, man.
I think I'd talk myself into James Cook.
I think I'd take James Cook straight up. I think I would take James Cook. I would take Cook and then Spiller. That would be what I would do.
If you want Rashad White, I'm fine with
it. I like Rashad White though. Like if you're like, nah, I don't want to do that, I'd rather White. I would go Cook and Spiller. I'd go the two running backs there over Christian Watson. So is it other people are saying Watson? I think I'd take Cook, man. Cook over Watson.
I think so too.
Let's look at our trade of the day. Let's go to the Discord. Let's talk about a trade. Destination Devi patrons, what trade do we want to pull up? And it's not because it's the best trade or the worst trade, but I think this is an interesting trade to look at. So this was submitted. We've got Rashad Bateman in the 103, Jay, being acquired for Cam Akers, the 207 this year, a 401 this year, a 23 second, and a 23 third. So would you give up the 103 in Superflex for the 103 and Rashad Bateman for Cam Akers, the 207, the 401, and a second round pick and a third round pick in 2023? What side of the trade would you take?
I think I would take Rashad Bateman in the 103.
Easy, man. For me,
I think I would. I'm not the biggest. Well, the interesting thing,
you're not the big Rashad Bateman fan. Both sides. Though.
I'm not the biggest Bateman fan, but I think there will be opportunity here. But on top of that, I'm getting out from Cam Akers at a pretty reasonable cost, right? A wide receiver one on a, you know, not so pass happy offense, but again, he's still probably going to be the wide receiver one, and you can take another talented wide receiver if you want at 103 and maybe even luck into Kenneth Walker.
Yep.
So for me, I think that's where you are looking at, and overall Cam Akers, his health, his recovery, I'm fine with it, but I do like the Bateman side because those picks after that, I mean, what are we really looking at here? I don't know. Maybe you can draft David Bell at 207. I wouldn't do it. I'd probably still take a running back, but again, I think it's just you're hoping a lot for Cam Akers, and he could be great. But if he's not great, then I'm happy to have the Bateman and the other side.
And this is why trades are so fun, man. You get two sides of the coin. Respect the Curve says, I need the Cam Akers side. You know, you and I say we want Bateman in the 103. Nah, Patrick, I thought it was 223 seconds. No. A 23 second and a 23 third, the 207 this year. So why this is what this I want Bateman in the 103. I mean, for me, yeah, I looked at this.
I actually have a question for you really quickly.
Yeah, yeah.
Would you prefer Bateman or a 23 first? Like, let's say you had Bateman on your roster. He didn't do a whole lot for you this year. He's looking like he has opportunity. Would you flip him into a 23 first to kind of get that value back?
Where's the 23 first at?
We'll say not at the top, like mid to late at best. Like it's a middling roster.
Give me a number. You know, I want a number. Give me a number.
108. 108.
No, I'd rather this Bateman.
You're like calculating the players in your
head. Yeah, in my head, I'm thinking I'd rather Bateman.
What I think about with something like that, right, is if I'm trading away Bateman, I'm probably looking at a, you know, middling receiver, but I think the target in my head is actually Michael Mayer. Michael Mayer is the guy I think I would want to target if I trade away Rashad Bateman for a random 23 first. I mean, it depends on team construction, all these things, but someone was asking me about this the other day, and I was like, I think I would be willing to part with Bateman for a 23 first.
For the 112? Of course,
depends on where it is.
For the 112 and 23? The 112,
but again, we'll see what happens.
I thought you said 112. I was like, no, I'd rather Bateman over the 112.
No, not the 112. But again, like a first, right?
Yeah.
Are you this guy's saying Boutte or Bateman?
Oh, and Boutte. I think that's a possibility, right? I'll take Boutte over Bateman. I'll take Sean Tucker. Right? I'll take Kayshon Boutte, of course.
You can probably name 8 to 9 guys. You're are pretty close, right?
Yeah.
I think that if you're banking on that 23 first, I think there's, again, you have a 75% chance of getting a guy you really like.
Yeah.
If it's mid to late, you just hope they don't make it to the championship. And you're probably in good shape with the top 10 picks. I was just curious your thoughts on that one.
Yeah. If it was one, like right now, with just what I know personally, like everybody, most people don't know. So they think every fucking pick in the first round of 2023 is going to be Bijan Robinson. There's just going to be 12 Bijan Robinsons in 23, right? Yeah. Good luck with that. If it's like 108, 109 or higher, Mayer, Tucker, Gibbs, Bijan, Levis, Stroud, Young,
The QBs,
Anthony,
right?
Richardson, Kayshon Boutte, Jackson Smith and Jigba, Michael Mayer, yes. 110, 111, 112, probably not. And there aren't 12 Bijan Robinsons in the class. No. So,
yeah.
All right, good trade. I'm in on the Bateman and 103 side. Give me the Bateman and 103 side. All right, Jay, there it is. That's the show. We appreciate y'all tapping in. No show tomorrow. We'll be back on Wednesday. We've got a guest. We've got guests lined up this week. I hope one of the guests can join live, whether that be Wednesday or Friday. And then we got another special appearance by a industry colossus that's going to join the Wake Up Show. And we'll see how that goes. We'll see what he has to say. So make sure y'all subscribe, like the content, engage with the good people below. Enjoy your week. Start your Monday off great. Make sure y'all wake y'all ass up with us tomorrow. We out of this thing. Peace out. Where's the outro? Jay, I don't know where it's at. We're out.
You
Bye.
Said wake up with us tomorrow. We're waking up on Wednesday.
Oh, yeah. Waking up on Wednesday. And I don't know where the outro is. I lost it. So.